Imagine you just spent like 4 years meticulously learning the grammar, the syntax, and you know, the highly complex vocabulary of a very difficult foreign language.
Right, which is a huge time investment.
It's massive. And the very day you finally feel fluent, someone just hands every single person on Earth a flawless, instant, real-time universal translator.
Whoa, wow, yeah.
Suddenly, the value isn't in knowing the vocabulary anymore. That value basically drops to zero.
Yeah.
But the value of having something genuinely interesting to say, that
That's
skyrockets.
a really great way to frame it.
Thanks. And well, welcome to today's deep dives. Today, we are looking at a comprehensive 2026 guide, and it's titled Vibe Coding Prompts.
Yeah, it's a fascinating read.
It really is. And our mission for this deep dive is to completely unpack how the landscape of software development has fundamentally shifted, you know, away from typing thousands of lines of syntax by hand and toward describing our exact intent in just plain English.
Which is a massive paradigm shift.
Exactly. And by the end of this, we want to equip you, the listener, with the precise framework you need to actually harness this shift. Okay, let's unpack this because I am honestly still in a state of total disbelief.
I don't blame you.
I mean, for decades, coding was this highly gated, almost mystical skill, right? It required years of study, late nights debugging, like missing semicolons, and a very specific type of mathematical logic.
Yeah, the barrier to entry was incredibly high.
Right. And now, according to our sources, this highly technical field is largely just about clear communication. It just feels wild to even say that out loud.
It absolutely feels like science fiction, but it is our current empirical reality. What's fascinating here is that while the mechanical barrier to entry for building software has essentially vanished, the ceiling for quality hasn't.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
Well, that ceiling is now entirely dictated by a user's ability to articulate complex thoughts clearly. So you don't need to know how to write a complex database query by hand anymore.
Thank goodness for that.
Right. But you absolutely must know how to explain the exact relationship between, say, a user, a shopping cart, and a payment gateway. And you have
Yeah.
to do it with hyper-specific language.
Right. It's like you're managing the logic, not the typing. And that actually brings us to the term for this shift, which our sources note was coined surprisingly recently.
Yeah, it feels like it's been around forever, but it hasn't.
Not at all. Back in February 2025, Andrej Karpathy, who is one of the co-founders of OpenAI, he used the term vibe coding.
Which is such a catchy
It
phrase.
really is.
Yeah.
It caught on so incredibly fast that Collins Dictionary actually named vibe coding the word of the year for 2025.
It was a very rapid cultural adoption, though Karpathy's original definition of the workflow was, well, it was a bit chaotic.
How so?
He described it as a process where you just like see stuff, say stuff, run stuff, and copy-paste stuff.
That sounds extremely chaotic, honestly.
Yeah. The initial idea was that you lean almost entirely on the AI, you guide it with words, you let it handle the heavy lifting of the code, and you just sort of accept the output.
So you aren't really checking the work.
Exactly. You're steering it with follow-up requests rather than carefully reviewing every single line of code it changed.
Wow. And the modern practical translation of that workflow, at least according to the 2026 guide we had here, has solidified into 4 steps, which are prompt, review, test, refine.
Right, a much more structured approach.
Oh, wait, hold on. I have to push back on this terminology for a second. Because if I am acting more like an architect designing a building, rather than the bricklayer laying the physical bricks, that implies a need for extreme, rigid precision.
100%.
But if it's called vibe coding, doesn't that imply like a loose, fuzzy, whatever feels right approach? Like a DJ reading a room. How on earth does a vibe actually result in working to cure software?
It's a great observation, and it really highlights the central paradox of this whole concept. I mean, the phrase sounds loose, almost casual.
Yeah, it sounds like you're just hanging out with a computer.
Exactly. But in practice, successful vibe coding requires a level of hyper-precision that most people simply aren't used to applying to their daily communication. The guide actually provides a brilliant analogy for this.
Oh, I love a good analogy. Weigh it on me.
Think of the AI as an extremely fast junior developer who never, ever gets tired.
Okay, a tireless junior dev. That paints a picture.
Exactly. Now, let's look at the mechanism of how that junior dev operates. If you hand them a design brief, which is your prompt, and that brief relies on vibes or fuzzy language, what does the junior developer do?
I mean, they probably just guess, right?
Spot on. They have to fill in the gaps with their own guesses. If you don't specify the database, they assume the one they've seen most often. They guess at the color scheme. They invent their own error handling.
And because they're a junior dev.
Because they're a junior dev, guessing in a vacuum, they usually guess wrong. The code might actually run, but it won't do exactly what you need.
Which means you just end up with a mess.
Right, but, and this is the key, if that design brief is precise, structured, and exhaustive, that exact same tireless junior developer will hand you back clean, production-ready code in seconds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The AI model supplies the raw capability, but the precision of your prompt dictates how much of that capability you actually capture and control.
So if precision is the steering wheel here, where exactly are we driving? Because the natural next question for you listening is, how are people actually delivering that precision?
Right. What are the actual tools?
Exactly. I imagine typing out a 50-page design brief into ChatGPT every time you want to change a button isn't the answer.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to look at the literal tools dominating the landscape in 2026.
And this is where the market has really fractured into highly specialized environments. It's no longer a one-size-fits-all world.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the guide notes a massive trend. Builders aren't just picking one tool, they are combining them.
Yeah, the workflows are getting very sophisticated.
But it makes me wonder, why aren't people just using standard ChatGPT for all of this? We all know it rates code. Why go through the trouble of specialized software editors?
That's the defining question of the 2026 toolset. And the answer really comes down to a technical concept called the context window.
Context window. Okay, break that down for us.
So ChatGPT is phenomenal. It remains the most widely used entry point, and it's perfect for quick standalone scripts or asking for explanations. But ChatGPT operates in a vacuum.
How so?
Let me give you another analogy. Imagine trying to edit a feature-length movie, but you're only allowed to look at 3 frames of footage at a time.
Oh, man. That sounds like an absolute nightmare. You'd have no idea what the scene is even about.
Exactly. And that's what it's like asking standard ChatGPT to modify a complex app. If you ask it to change how user authentication works, you have to manually copy and paste all the relevant files into the chat. It can't see the rest of your project.
That sounds exhausting.
It is. But the specialized production-level tools like Cursor and Devin Desktop, they operate completely differently. They index your entire project. So, using the movie analogy, they get to watch the whole film before making a cut.
And the guide specifically highlights Cursor as an AI-native editor that handles massive multi-file refactors. Let's explain what that actually means for a second, just to be clear.
Yeah, it's an important concept.
If I change the plumbing in the basement of my house, a multi-file refactor means the AI automatically knows to go upstairs and change the fixtures on the sink to match the new water pressure.
That's a great way to put it.
Right. In coding terms, it means changing a column in your back-end database. And the AI automatically cascades that change all the way to front-end buttons the user clicks across dozens of different files.
Exactly. It completely understands the architecture. And alongside Cursor, for serious production work, the guide highlights Claude Code from Anthropic.
Oh, right.
What's unique about Claude Code is that it's terminal native.
Meaning it lives in the command line.
Yes, exactly. The terminal is essentially the engine room of your computer. It's where developers run their servers, install packages, and execute commands.
So it has deep access.
Very deep. By making the AI terminal native, it can actually run commands, see the error messages the computer spits out, and fix its own bugs in real time. Which is exactly why it's highly regarded for deep reasoning and complex logic.
Now, for developers who want to stay in their traditional environments, like standard VS Code, the guide highlights GitHub Copilot.
Yeah, that's a huge one.
It's being used for inline suggestions, essentially predicting what you're going to type next. And the benchmarks here are just staggering. The guide mentions a 55% faster completion rate for benchmark tasks, with millions of paid subscribers.
Copilot is fantastic for when you are actively typing in the code, but then you have the fast prototyping tools, which are arguably driving the most explosive growth for non-technical users.
Tools for people who don't want to type code at all.
Exactly. These are tools like Lovable, which is heavily favored for generating polished, design-forward user interfaces strictly from plain text, and Bolt.new, which is a browser-based full-stack prototyper.
And there's also Replit AI, which the guide notes is fantastic for learning because it bundles everything, the code editor, the database, the web hosting, and an autonomous AI agent all into one single browser tab.
It really lowers the friction to get started.
Totally. Oh, and a quick historical note for anyone tracking these startups.
Mm-hmm.
The tool formerly known as Windsurf actually rebranded to Devin Desktop in mid-2026.
Ah, right. Good catch.
So if I'm understanding this workflow trend, founders might rapidly prototype an idea visually and lovable because it's so fast, and then move that code base over to Cursor so the AI can, like you said, see the whole movie for production hardening.
Precisely. Picking the right tool for the scope of your task is the first crucial step in setting up a successful environment.
Okay, so we understand the philosophy and we know the tools. Now let's talk about the actual blueprint.
The fun part.
Yeah. If I just log into one of these tools and type build a login page, what actually happened?
Well, if you do that, you are asking that junior developer to guess, and the result will be a generic, likely unusable disaster.
Makes.
Yeah. What separates a weak prompt from a powerful one is a very specific methodology, which the guide breaks down into six core pillars.
Let's tear that bad prompt down then. Build a login page.
Right.
How do the pillars actually fix this?
First, we apply specificity and requirements. You have to explicitly name your technical stack and your features. The AI cannot read your mind.
Right.
You don't just say login page. You say build a login page with email and password fields, inline validation, a show password toggle, and a forgot password link. I want this built in React with Tailwind CSS.
And for anyone unfamiliar, specifying React and Tailwind is basically like telling a contractor exactly what building materials to use.
Exactly.
Instead of just saying build a house, you're saying build a house using this specific type of steel frame and this exact brand of exterior brick.
Yeah.
It sets the structural foundation.
Yeah, perfectly said. Then you apply constraints. This is how you steer the output toward reality. You add boundaries like do not use external libraries or keep it under 200 lines or even make it mobile first down to a 320 pixel screen width.
Why do constraints matter so much, though? If the AI is doing the work, who cares if it's 200 lines or 2,000 lines?
Because without constraints, AI tends to hallucinate complexity. It will give you a bloated, over-engineered mess that is absolutely impossible to maintain or debug later.
Ah, I see.
Constraints force it to find the most elegant, direct solution.
That makes total sense. Now, the next pillar is giving examples. The guide says referencing known patterns is highly effective.
It's a game changer.
So instead of using 20 adjectives to describe how sleek and modern you want a checkout page to look, you just say, build a checkout flow similar to a Stripe checkout.
And mathematically, this is a brilliant way to prompt.
Why is that?
Because large language models operate on statistical relationships. When you say, like, Stripe, you are instantly anchoring the AI's vast, unfocused knowledge base to a very specific, proven design pattern that exists thousands of times in its training data.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it immediately understands the exact vibe and architecture you want.
And to wrap that all in the right context, the guide suggests role-based prompting.
Mm-hmm.
Starting your request with, act as a senior React developer who writes clean, tested components.
Which is super important.
Right. It sets a behavioral quality bar for the AI before it even begins to generate code. But wait, hold on.
What's up?
The final pillar the guide lists is iterate. It says you have to treat the first result as a rough draft. Hasn't the entire selling point of vibe coding been this magical instant generation?
Wow.
I mean, if I am endlessly going back and forth with the AI asking for tweaks, aren't I essentially just debugging with extra steps? Doesn't that sort of defeat the purpose?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we really have to debunk the one-shot myth. The goal of vibe coding was never instant perfection on the very first try. That's just a marketing illusion.
Okay, so what is the real goal then?
The true goal is rapid prototyping and extreme acceleration of the feedback loop.
So it's the speed of the cycle, not the destination of the first try.
Exactly. Think about traditional development. In the time it would take a human developer to merely set up their local environment, install the necessary dependencies, and link a database.
Which takes forever.
Right. An iterative vibe coder has already generated a draft, spotted a visual flaw, asked the AI to fix the mobile layout, added a dark mode toggle, and deployed a working version too.
Okay, I see. The guide actually outlines a prompt maturity scale to illustrate this exact difference.
Yeah, it's a very helpful scale.
It notes that beginners write what we call single line vague requests, and then they get frustrated when it's generic.
Oh, but
experts. Experts design multi-step context-aware workflows.
Exactly. They take control of the process.
Right. They feed the AI their existing code base, they apply those constraints and examples, they review the output, and they actively guide the AI through refinements. The iteration isn't a failure of the prompt. The iteration is the actual development process.
Yes. The conversation is the coding.
Which brings us to an incredibly important reality check. We've built up the immense power and the frankly, mind-bending speed of vibe coding.
It is powerful, but there's a catch.
Right, we've talked about how magical it feels to just speak software into existence, but we have to ground this in empirical reality. What does the data from 2026 actually show us about the market, the trust, and the emerging dangers of relying on AI to build our infrastructure?
The data paints a very clear picture of a massive usage boom, but it's accompanied by a severe, almost alarming drop in trust.
Let's hit the numbers.
Okay, according to the 2025 Stack Overflow Developer Survey, which is highly respected, and surveyed over 49,000 respondents, a staggering 84% of developers were using or planning to use AI tools.
Wow.
And 51% were using them every single day.
And the guide's industry estimates suggest that AI now assists with roughly 41% of all code being written globally. Let that sit for a second.
It's massive.
41%. That is a systemic, permanent shift in how human beings create technology. But here's the massive contradiction. Despite this hyper-adoption, trust has absolutely plummeted.
It really has.
The guide notes that in 2026, only 29% of developers fully trust AI accuracy. That is down significantly from about 40% back in 2024. So what does this all mean?
It's a huge friction point.
Yeah. We are relying on this technology more than ever before to write our critical systems, but we trust the actual code it writes less than we used to.
It means the industry has finally moved past the honeymoon phase. Honestly, that drop in trust is a sign of maturity.
It's so.
Definitely. Early on, people assumed the AI was infallible because it felt like magic. But independent analyses from 2025 and 2026 stripped that illusion away.
What did they find?
They revealed a harsh technical reality. Unreviewed, AI-authored code carries notably more security vulnerabilities and structural bugs than code written entirely by humans.
Wait, why is that? If the AI is so smart, why is it writing insecure code?
Because AI models optimize for the fastest, most statistically likely path to a working solution, not necessarily the most robust or secure path.
So it takes shortcuts.
Exactly. When you optimize purely for speed and you remove careful human review, you accumulate what we call technical debt at an unprecedented rate.
And technical debt is basically...
It's the implied cost of future rewriting you have to do because you chose an easy, flawed solution now instead of a better approach that would take longer.
Right.
With AI, you can generate 10,000 lines of technical debt in an hour.
Which sounds like an absolute nightmare for any company trying to maintain a secure product.
It's a huge liability.
And the guide points out that this exact danger, this friction between speed and security, is exactly why specific new career paths are exploding.
The job market is adapting fast.
It mentions companies in major global tech hubs, specifically highlighting Hyderabad's HI Tech City in India, where employers are actively hunting for new roles. They aren't looking for traditional coders anymore.
No, they're looking for something else.
They're hunting for titles like prompt engineers and AI product builders. They don't just want people who can type syntax anymore. They want people who can direct the AI safely.
That is the crux of the 2026 job market. The bottleneck in software development has fundamentally shifted. It is no longer the physical generation of code.
Right, just because of these tools.
Exactly. Because of these tools, code is now incredibly cheap to generate. It's essentially a commodity. The scarce, highly valued skill is architectural vision.
Doing the big picture.
It's knowing exactly what to build, knowing how to explicitly constrain the AI so it builds it securely, and crucially, having the discipline to rigorously test and review the AI's output before it ever goes live.
It's basically quality assurance and systems design on steroids. And looking forward, the guide notes that Andre Karpathy suggests this entire field is going to mature into what he calls agentic engineering.
This is where it gets really wild.
Yeah. Instead of a human just prompting an AI for a snippet of code, we are moving toward autonomous, multi-agent workflows.
Right. Imagine a scenario where you don't just have one AI assistant. You have a whole virtual team.
Okay.
You give the initial plain English prompt to an AI manager agent. That manager agent plans the architecture and hands tasks to an AI coder agent. The coder executes it and passes it to an AI testing agent.
And if something breaks?
When the testing agent finds a bug, it actually communicates back to the coder agent to fix its own errors entirely autonomously.
Wow. We are fully transitioning from being writers of code to being orchestrators of intelligent systems.
Orchestrators is the perfect word for it.
And in that environment, your ability to communicate your initial intent with total clarity using those specific constraints, examples, and requirements we discussed is literally the only way to maintain control over what these autonomous systems are building.
It really is a whole new world. It's the ultimate democratization of software creation, provided you respect the precision required to wield it.
So let's bring this all together for you. If there is one core takeaway from unpacking this 2026 guide, it is that vibe coding turns your plain English into working software, but only if you start treating English as a precise programming language.
You have to be deliberate.
You can't rely on vibes alone. You have to communicate with strict technical constraints, use highly specific examples to anchor the AI, and practice iterative patience.
100%.
Whether you are a non-technical founder trying to get a brilliant app idea off the ground, or you are a seasoned senior developer looking to 10x your daily workflow, your ability to clearly articulate your intent is now, without a doubt, your single greatest technical asset.
The mechanical barrier is gone. It's just you and your ideas now. And that concept of agentic engineering we just touched on, where AI agents manage other AI agents, it leaves us with a rather profound question to consider as we look to the rest of the decade.
I love a good lingering thought. What do you have for us?
Well, if the near future is autonomous multi-agent workflows where these AI agents are tasked with planning, testing, and executing code end-to-end, how long will it be until those AI agents learn to write their own hyper-optimized prompts to instruct the other AI agents?
Oh, man.
Will human vibe coding just be viewed as a brief transitional decade before the AI develops its own complex machine language and humans are entirely locked out of the software translation process altogether?
Wow, from being handed a universal translator to eventually speaking a language we can't even understand, we will leave you to chew on that future. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.